Can you hear me now? Is that good? All right. Donna says yes. Okay. I switched out my mic. All right. So this is office hours. If you want to be coached, go ahead and raise your hand. If you guys want to talk amongst yourselves, you can do so in the chat. If you have questions for me and you don't want to raise your hand, or they're really easy, you know, Q&A type questions, you can throw them in the Q&A. So let's get rolling. Carly, you are up first. Hello. In the bottom left-hand part of your screen, you'll see a little join audio, and you have to click that little microphone. You see it? Uh-oh, Carly's frozen. Where is my phone? I can show you all where it is. Did you find it, Carly? Did you find your microphone?
There we go.
Oh, good. Do you find it's down in the bottom left, right? And it says join audio. Perfect. Yeah. We're gonna start putting that instruction in a tech tip or something till everybody gets used to it, because that's new for Zoom. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Other than the cough, I am doing all right. What's up?
Okay. So I've been struggling this week. I'm feeling like a very special unicorn that can't lose weight.
Okay.
I am a January baby. In January, I lost 10 pounds. And in February, I've gained and lost the same 4 pounds, bringing me back to like 6 pounds to like 9 pounds and whatnot. And then last week, I had almost a perfect week. Like, I assess my week at the end of each week. I have a spreadsheet and it shows me when I ate off and on. Like, I have no problem planning, making plans every week, every day. But I had almost a perfect week. I got my sleep, I got my water, I got my steps, I got my food, everything was on plan. I don't usually do exceptions during the week. I only do them on Fridays and Saturdays. And I was up 4 pounds.
Okay.
I'm not exercising. I'm just basic, like 5,000 steps a day. I work in an office. I sit at a desk. I'm not ready to do the exercising yet.
It's fine.
And I'm nowhere near my period. So I was like, I had a woe is me meltdown. I have a great accountability group and they talk me off the ledge, but I fell off the rails hard on the weekend. And I did, I did some worksheets, I did TDLing and stuff like that, but I don't know, like, it wrecked me to be up 4 pounds when I had such a perfect week, and I'm not sure what to do.
Okay. So do you know the model?
I do. I haven't done one.
Well, let's just talk through it. Okay. Scale said up 4 pounds. That's the fact of the model, right? That's the secret. Mm-hmm. Your thought is, but I had a perfect week. I had an almost perfect week.
Mm-hmm.
And what feeling when you think about the scale in terms of, but I had an almost perfect week, what feeling comes up?
That it should have been down.
Like frustrated.
Oh, upset. Super, super frustrated and upset. Mm-hmm. And disappointed.
Disappointed. Yeah. And so when you feel those things, what do you do?
Right now I eat.
Right. Which results in an imperfect week, right?
Yes.
Okay. So tell me about, you know, this almost perfect week. What was the other part of the week that wasn't the almost part?
The Friday and Saturdays. Weekends are my kryptonite. I find during the week, I pre-plan everything. So my breakfast is done. Like, I eat breakfast at work. I don't eat till I'm hungry. So it's like 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. My lunches are done. We pre-plan our suppers for the week.
Okay.
And if I find I'm going to bed at like 9, 9:30, 10, maybe at the latest on the weekends, because I'm up later. I get up later because my kids are older, and then I go to sleep later. And I put my exceptions on the weekend. I find that I'm overeating my exceptions, and
does it go all the way from Friday night through Sunday?
Friday and Saturday. Sunday is my meal prep day, and I find I can stay on track that day. It's like I'm starting fresh, but it's literally Friday at noon.
Okay.
To like Saturday night till I go to bed.
All right. So let's do some math.
Okay.
All right. So that's 5 meals. Friday lunch, Friday dinner, Saturday breakfast, lunch, dinner. 5 meals.
Yeah.
There's 21 meals in a week.
Mm-hmm.
So 25% of the time, you're not on plan.
Correct.
That's 75% of the time you are on plan.
Correct.
Okay. Of that 75% when you were on plan, did you eat perfectly to a plus two each time?
I would say that week, yes, I did.
Okay, that week. But the other five meals, you probably did not, right?
Correct.
Okay. So 25% of the time is not going to get you any weight loss. You know, being perfect, only 75% of the time, you know, 25% overeats, off-plan eats is, you know, that's a pretty high percentage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're going to have to work on planning your Fridays and Saturdays and being committed to making sure that even though you're planning exceptions, that you're eating to your plus two. The plus two is always going to be, Corinne might shoot me for saying this, it's the most important basic. Planning is always the first step because that's where we can see success first. But you have to stop overeating if you're gonna lose weight. Okay? So you also have a thought that weekends are your kryptonite.
Yes.
So if you put that thought in the model, weekends are my kryptonite, what feeling comes up?
That I'm weak.
Yeah. That you're not in control. That you're
no. Weak.
So you've gone ahead and decided that those 5 meals, maybe more, maybe on into Saturday, Sunday sometimes before you food prep, I don't know, that you're just going to be weak and it's not going to matter because it's your kryptonite. So you're already telling yourself that you're going to fail during those times. You're pre-failing.
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Right? So think back to January when you lost 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you were a little bit more accountable on your weekends.
I was.
The program was new. I can do this. I've got this new program. It feels good. You know, you're in stage one. You're feeling all the feels. This is a great place. Then you hit stage two. And all of a sudden the weekends are kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you do? This is Tuesday, right? On about Thursday, why don't you create a weekend plan?
Okay.
Okay. I actually coached a girl one time who made 2 plans each week. She made one on Sunday for Monday through Thursday. And she made one on Thursday for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And they never looked the same. You know, you said it, you nailed it. You know, when you get up and you go to work and you're in this very structured environment, the way you eat is a little bit different than on the weekends.
Yeah.
Sometimes for some people it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people plan their exceptions on the weekends. A lot of people don't, you know, they might, you know, plan them a little bit through the week, who knows, but sometimes your weekend is a little bit different from an eating perspective. You might eat out once or twice, whereas you didn't during the week. Mm-hmm. So think about doing a weekend, kind of an overview weekend plan,
right,
and then your 24-hour plans each day to fine-tune it. And I would seriously do your 24-hour plans with your family. My husband and I do ours together.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that gives that way you're not creating a plan over here that you think is going to be great, And the husband comes in and says, you know, I really want to go bowling and have some wings tonight, wings and beer tonight. And you're like, man, I've got broccoli on my plan. I want to do wings and beer too. Forget the broccoli. I'm going with you. It's just the night. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I think that's a great idea.
Right. If you guys plan it together, then he can say, you know, Carly, I was kind of hoping we'd go bowling this weekend. Then you can plan for it. You can think about it ahead of time. You can visualize it and you can say, I can have some wings and beer, but I think I'm going to just have a few wings and I'll have the grilled ones instead of the fried ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have two beers. That's it. Or whatever it is. You know, you go ahead and plan it and then you don't feel weak. You don't feel disappointed. You've created a plan that you've stuck to.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look next Friday and see how the scale reacts to your plans and whether or not you want to up level.
Okay.
Right now it sounds like you're reacting to the weekend rather than creating a weekend that you control.
Yeah. I'm like writing down my information after the fact.
Yeah.
I kind of have a loose plan, but it's not set in stone. It's not like exact. This is my exception and this is how much I'm having and this is my plus two. And right. I'm not doing that. So.
Yeah. The weekends can sneak up on you if you let them, you know, because you are a little bit out of routine. So they take a little bit, they take some planning and they take some intention to work through. And if it's really important to you to lose weight rather than maintain or flip-flop through this same, you know, 4 pounds, then you're going to have to create some intention for your weekends.
Okay.
Make sense?
Thank you. Yes, it does.
You're welcome. Is that it?
That's it right now.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Vicki, you are up. All right, hey, so the join audio little button is on the bottom left of your screen.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. You found it. Yep.
I tested speakers and everything ahead of time and it still didn't work.
Well, you know, I think you have to, everybody's just going to have to hit that.
Okay. Join the audio.
Has changed its process so that everybody is going to have to hit that.
Okay.
Hit that little thing. So Betsy and I actually got on Zoom together and, you know, I was the host, so she could test it. And she was the host, so right. I could test it so that we could.
So you know how to coach us on what button to hit, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm glad. And now I have to teach Corinne.
There you
go. That, so she knows what to do. All right. So what are we coaching on?
So I've had a long day of journaling. I don't know how many pages I journaled. I'm like, I think I'm going to get on a call today.
Okay.
So I wrote in the coach, I forget, Ask Coaches, and I don't know if it was you or Betsy who answered, but it was the one that last week one of my sons said he was coming over for dinner, and he said he'd be leaving. Do you remember this one? Was it you?
So, I remember reading it. I don't remember if I answered. Right. You'll have to tell me. You have to tell some more about it.
So basically, I had an overeat, I think after he left. Now I can't even remember. So he said he was going to be leaving his house at 6, which I knew by 6:30, 6:40 he'd be here. But then he texted, he's like, oh, we're leaving at 6:30 and go ahead and eat without us. And when he texted, I had just gotten home. My husband wasn't even home. And I texted him back and I said, hey, I just got home. Your dad's not home yet. You know, so it's, you know, we can easily, you know, it's going to take easily a half an hour or so to cook the food or whatever. It's no problem. So anyway, he ended up not showing up until 8. We went ahead and ate anyway at, I don't know what time, 7:30 or something. I really wasn't upset because I know how he is. And it wasn't like I was waiting to go to the airport. And now I'm late for the flight. I've made some kind of peace with people don't show up on my schedule or when I think they should. But so the answer that came back was interesting, that maybe it was a control issue. And I don't remember exactly what they said, but I sat with that for a little bit, and I felt like, you know, I wasn't, maybe somewhere down there deep it is for that, but I felt like we were watching TV and relaxing, me and my husband. We weren't like starving and like, oh. But what happened afterwards is I started thinking a lot about control in general, and something popped into my mind 1,000 years ago when I first got out of college. I actually worked for Nutrisystem, and I had a horrible, horrible manager. She was a yeller. That was how she would coach us. She would yell at us. But one of the things she did was, at some big group training, she got us all little presents, and she got me a wand. So, you know, it was really like, not humiliating, but it was like, this is not how you coach a person to get better. But she gave me a wand because she said, I like to have everything just perfect and in control. And this way I could just wave my wand and everything would be good and whatever. So, you know, I've known I've had that tendency, and I've been working on it for years. Anyway, I'm kind of getting off track. So I know this is an issue. And one of the things that my husband ended up saying was, let me find where I wrote it. Sorry. This is a lot of stuff, but I think it's an issue of control over like feeling well and aging well. And I've had a lot of issues with, I have a manual for people that don't take care of themselves, because I had somebody in my stepfather passed away from a cancer. What was it? Prostate cancer. And he was morbidly obese. He could not have a surgery because he would die on the table. It's very curable. That's where I think all this control stuff is coming from, is a fear of aging poorly.
Well, let's go back to the night your son was so late.
Okay.
When did you overeat? Did you overeat dinner that night? Did you overeat after he left? When did the overeat happen?
Well, I'm like, where's my thing? I think it's right here. I think it was dinner, actually. It was dinner. Yeah, I had extra servings.
Mm-hmm. So if you think
chocolate bar, but it was too much food.
Right. So if you think back, mm-hmm. and I vaguely remember this question. I've slept and done a few others since then, right? If you think back, why do you think you overate dinner? If you were at peace and you knew this is just what he does, why do you think you overate?
Yeah. Well, maybe I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you thought to be.
Yes.
But there was probably some disappointment.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So
right. I'm used to it, but I guess I'm still disappointed.
So why? Why, pardon? Why are you still disappointed? How old is he?
26.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I'll tell you, you know what it is that he could have just texted and said,
ah.
We are, and so we found out later, they ate at 4:30. Mm-hmm. They had a super, super late lunch and didn't tell us. So I'm like, all right, that's kind of, I said, I could see this pattern where I expect too much of him. So I actually called him the next day and I said, hey, I'm just wondering if, you know, the next time something like this happens, I mean, I hope you didn't feel like you couldn't tell me that you ate dinner at lunch at 4:30 or whatever. He's like, yeah, actually, I thought maybe you'd be disappointed. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, oh, I want you to be able to tell me, you know, so why don't we work on that? That, you know, if you're running late, that, because he's like, oh, I was afraid to tell you I was running even later because I was going to disappoint you. I'm like, oh, boy. So we had a really nice conversation later. I said, I'm working on that. But I want you.
He knows you pretty well, right?
Yeah, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
I installed all those buttons.
Yeah, did he say, because I know you expect me to act differently than I'm really going to act?
It's something like that, basically. Yes. So I don't want him to have that pressure. Mm-hmm. And I saw it. That's why I called him, and I gave him the ability I hoped. And he did tell me, he's like, yeah, I'm like, all right, so let's, from now on, you remind me if you feel like I'm putting this like expectation on you, say, hey, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I'm working on it. You know, I said, cause I really would have been fine if he had told me we're just coming to visit. I think it was my birthday. It was like, oh yeah, he was coming to say hello. So, I would have been fine.
Why not just accept that he's going to do what he's going to do?
Yes. Right? I'm working on it. Yeah. Well, I have a lot of teachers.
Why not just do it? You know, if you keep saying, I'm working on it, you might be working on it for the next 26 years.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the excuse to still be mad when he doesn't show up when you expect him to show up. Well, I'm working on accepting him, but he should have shown up. Mm-hmm. Rather than that old boy, he may or may not be here. I'm going to go ahead and eat and we'll see him when he gets here. You know, because he's going to be who he is.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
You don't want him to be anybody other than
him. I do not.
Right?
Exactly.
So, you know, he's 26 years old. He's probably going to be who he is, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't live at home anymore.
No, he's out of the house.
Mm-hmm. He's out of the house. He's working. He's doing his thing. He's living his life. He's a millennial. He's going to do what he's going to do.
Don't get me started.
I have two of them. You know? I have, and they're very different. And
yeah, mine too.
I love them both the same, but there's one I haven't seen in about 6 weeks. He lives about, I don't know, 6 miles from here.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So I finally just texted his wife and said, hey, you guys want to get together this weekend? Because I know that my son is a homebody.
Yeah.
And he's not, I mean, he's going to go to work and he's going to take care of his family, you know, his wife and his dog and all that. But he's going to sit at home unless he gets an invitation.
I see.
I accept that about him. I know that about him. He will be as sweet as pie if I call him, but he's not going to call me.
Yes.
It's just not in his DNA. It's just not part of him. So I could work on the fact that I'm trying to accept him, or I can just say, you know what? I love that boy and I know him. And if I want to see him, I know I'm going to have to pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm coming to your house. And he'd be like, sure, come on.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. So it's so funny that you said that, because one of the things I think I had written in there is that I had huge, empty nest syndrome. And so I have two boys and they're very independent, and I'm glad that they're not needing to call me every half an hour with how do I do this kind of situation. But I do find myself, and I wrote this in the thing, waiting, like if they say, hey, like I saw my youngest one this weekend at a wedding. He's like, oh, I think I'm going to come by the house this week. And I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm like, I hope I don't have any plans this night. I might have to schedule. And I'll be like, waiting. He may not, probably won't show up. Something will happen, or he'll have a better offer or whatever. So I don't know if that's part of the empty nest, just kind of a different thing, or I'm just so excited to see. I mean, I just want to love on them, right?
I don't think there's anything wrong with being excited when they come over. I mean, I'm excited to see my little hermit boy. his wife will get him out. I'm excited to see him, but I don't live my life for that anymore.
Right.
Because both of mine are married now.
Yeah. No, mine are not.
Even when they went to college, I missed them terribly.
Yeah.
But this is before thought work. You know, this is before I knew that I needed to work on my noggin. I would tell myself what I want for them is to go out and find their way and to be prosperous and happy and find their person. That's core what I want for them.
Right.
Would I like to be involved in their life? Yes.
Yes.
But if that, if for them to be prosperous and happy and feel loved in a, relationship or whatever, and they have to live in Denver.
Right.
That's just what they're going to have to do. And am I going to miss them terribly? Yes. But I'm also going to make efforts to talk to them when I can or see them.
Sure.
But their happiness, I don't, the whole point is I didn't want to harbor, you know, the I wish they'd never leave thought.
Right.
I wish this would never happen, because I didn't want them living in the basement working at Publix the rest of their lives.
Yeah, I don't want that.
That's not what I wanted for them. And the natural way of being is that they separate from me and they become their own, have their own life.
Right.
And if I am able to watch that gracefully for them and for me, it actually improves our relationship.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah, because I've given them their independence. You know, my older one is the one with the three girls. I bet I see him. Well, I see him at church a couple of times a week. But he brings the girls over, you know, every couple of weeks, or we go over and see them every couple of weeks. You know, where he is much more involved just because that's the person he is.
Right.
If I want to be involved with the younger one, I just have to make the effort. If I could sit around downstairs and be mad about it.
Yeah.
Greg never calls. Greg never texts. Greg never this. Greg does text me when there's hockey news.
He has to be.
Yes. We have a local team.
Okay.
If I get a text from Greg, it's because someone's been traded.
Oh, Lord.
But that's okay. That's how he communicates with me. So my point is, work on those empty nesting thoughts, because the more you're able to turn loose of that and give them the ability to run their lives, the more they're going to love you in return. They're not
getting
the pressure from mom.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, I kind of recognized that and made the phone call, which I think gave him okay. So, yeah, I definitely don't want to be that person with a manual.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to figure out a way to release the expectations.
Right.
Because then, you know, when there's no expectations really, other than to answer the phone if you call or call you back if they can't get to you, then, you know, then you don't have any stress over unmet expectations.
Right, right. I guess I didn't realize it because I felt like I was just, we were watching TV and just waiting and whatever. So, all right, so I'll just work on that. Yeah. Okay.
Is that
okay? Yeah, that helps with that. I see I have other issues that came out with it later, so maybe I'll journal more and get on another call. So at some point to change my life.
So it may not be control. It may be more just expectations and, you know, judgments and manuals and things like that.
Well, sometimes
it's a little, sometimes we have to take a guess on Ask Coaches. And most of the time we hit it.
I'm not offended at all, because I know how controlling I used to be and I know there's still work to be done. So I'm okay, because I don't want to be that person, because I know I see how my parents are and I know what that feels like. So I know I've made improvements, but I still have more to go. Mm-hmm. So that always, whenever somebody says it, I'm like, oh, is that, you know, because I just don't want to be, because I know how bad it feels to be somebody try to control you.
So do your work on that.
I will.
Do your thought downloads and start writing out some intentional thoughts. You know,
okay.
So this is what I want to work toward. I want to be that mom that, you know, thinks this and does this, and, you know, just start writing out, you know, the type of mom you want to be.
Okay.
26 year old.
Okay? Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
Yeah. Bye. So there's a comment in the chat over here that says, I love that you said, I know he is a homebody, not his wife is keeping him from us in some way. I wanted to address that a little bit, because I don't think Grace is keeping him from us, but if she were, it would still be his relationship to manage, because in my mind, he is married to her and she should be his first priority. So even if she didn't want to come over here or she didn't want to spend time with us, it's his decision whether or not to honor her wishes or to come see me or whatever. You know, it's not something I am going to ever benefit from guilting him into or talking to him about. You know, it's just mom inserting herself into a marriage. And I just am not going to do that. You know, when I first got married, I remember thinking that I was never going to, even as the wife, make my husband choose between his mother and me. You know, because it should be totally two different planes. So I've always felt that way. I've always honored, you know, my husband's relationship with his mother. And so I think I should also honor my son's relationship with his wife. Just how Kathy rolls, you know? All right, enough preaching about daughters-in-law. I really do have two great ones, so I'm very fortunate. Rebecca, you are up. Hello. Okay, bottom right-hand corner of your screen is a join audio button.
You got there it? We go.
Awesome.
Yes.
Perfect. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm trying not to cough all over you all.
Oh, God. Yeah, I must be just going around everywhere. I called my daughter today and she sounded like she was, well, I was glad she was just on the phone, frankly. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be really honest there.
Yeah.
I am having trouble traveling well. Okay. And sticking to my plan and eating good healthy foods and eating normal amounts of foods. I'm in a weird phase of my life. Both of my kids are out of the house. And right now, my husband is working out of state. So I'm here by myself. I have my little routine. I get up in the morning with my dog. I have my journal. We make the plan. We have the coffee. We have all the things. Mm-hmm. And I can do that part while I'm traveling. But for some reason, when I travel, I am making just some really crappy food choices. I'm eating not what's on my plan. I'm eating too much of what I choose. And I'm choosing dessert way too often. And I don't mean like, oh, Kathy, I'm eating dessert twice a week. I mean like I'm eating dessert three times a day. So if I were at a point where I weren't traveling, but once every 6 months, I'd be like, well, you know, I'll probably figure it out. But right now with Mike working out of state and Eliza in college in a different city, I'm doing a lot of traveling. About half my month is travel. I've got to figure this out because that's nonsense. I'm gained and lost the same 5 pounds twice now, mm-hmm. and I'd like to be done with that.
So why are you eating off plan when you travel?
I don't know.
If you had to guess.
See, well, no, I'm thinking. That wasn't my final answer. I know that's wrong.
No, so, it's not wrong. It just blocks you.
Well, it's a dead end.
Right. It just you know, shuts the thoughts right off.
I don't know. I feel like it's not that I am going and getting amazing food that I can't get elsewhere. You know, if we were in New Orleans and I were at Commander's Palace and Palace Cafe and all the things, you know, I would understand why I'm eating so much. I'm in an airport eating brownies, all right? There's nothing special about airport brownies.
Why?
Because I wanted them. I was tired and stressed.
Why did you want them?
I don't think I'm a nervous traveler. I'm not a nervous flyer.
It's not that. If your husband had been with you, would you have gotten the brownies?
No. And if my daughter had been with me last time I were in San Antonio, I wouldn't have gone and gotten gelato twice in the day and the cookie and the...
So why not? Why wouldn't you have gotten the brownies and the gelato if you'd been with someone?
Well, it was all in public. So I've talked to Corinne before about sneaking food. Okay. So I feel like this is different because it was in public. Like I was sitting in the middle of the United Club having 1,000 brownies.
But you didn't know anybody in the United Club.
True. But I know a fair number of people in San Antonio, so it wouldn't have been odd.
When you were eight, were you by yourself or were you with them?
I was by myself because she was sick and I wasn't seeing people. I was seeing her and then going and getting food, you know. Maybe it is tied into the...
Well, think back at all these times when you overeat when you're traveling. Are you by yourself or are you with someone?
I'm much more often by myself.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's not that I don't overeat in front of Mike or that he doesn't know that I do it. Because after I had that call with Corinne, I sat Mike down and I was talking about, you know, hey, I want to say I'm eating Oreos in my closet. I'm eating M&Ms in the car. All the things. Here's all the stuff. When you don't understand why a jar of peanut butter is gone, it's me. and he's not judgmental. Yeah, I'm married to the best guy. So I don't know why traveling is doing it. Here's this. When I'm traveling right now, the two places I'm traveling are San Antonio and Kentucky. Both are a little stressful.
Why?
Kentucky, because this job may become permanent. We'll know in a couple of weeks if it's going to be permanent, in which case we'll be a two-city family, which stinks. The idea of that stinks. Now, I'm fortunate that we are able to go back and forth, but I've got to keep home base here. So that is some stress right there. And when I go to San Antonio, a lot of times I'm going to deal with medical issues, so that there's stress there. So maybe it's not specifically the travel. Maybe it's just that it's easier to deal with the stress when I'm here at home, because here at home, I have, if the food's not prepped, I have food I can fix easily.
You have routine, you know? At home.
Yeah. And I know how to eat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know how to go out to restaurants and eat like I want. You know, I know how to go, if I were at Burger Republic and it were my exception night, I'd be having a burger. Mm-hmm. And I also know how to go and get a salad and do that. But it's the traveling piece. I feel like when I'm not in my comfort zone of the house here, it's like that blanket's gone.
Yeah. And there's nobody to be accountable to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you run around naked in the airport eating brownies.
Yeah. So you saw me. Yeah.
I did. I was eating.
That was...
So how do you solve this?
Oh my God. Well, the next time I travel, which is this weekend, the first leg of it is actually with Mike. So that's easier right there. The back half of the trip, I'm by myself for a while, and then I'm traveling home by myself. And then the next week I'm traveling alone.
You have an accountability group?
I do. And I just,
with them?
Yeah.
Don't you take them with you? See, I think this is what it is. You're not being accountable to your plan. So you're not being self-accountable.
Okay.
If you don't have the self-accountability tool, sweet kitty.
Yes.
You know, if you don't have the self-accountability yet nailed when you're not in your routine and in your warm, fuzzy place.
Right.
Then you look for ways to find accountability.
Right.
So if you were to, do you guys Marco Polo?
We do.
Okay. If you were to Marco Polo your group and say, okay, guys, I'm headed to San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
This is the plan. And I'm going to talk to you after every time I eat and tell you what I've eaten.
Okay. Because I think I have been Marco Poloing. Mm-hmm. And I've been saying, you know, I didn't stick to my plan. Or, you know, like on the way home from this last trip to Kentucky a couple of days ago, I stuck to my plan and oh my Lord, you'd have thought I cured world hunger because all the excitement, all the joy was in my Marco Polo, you know.
That's hilarious. So, well, wouldn't it be great to do that again, to have all that joy again in your Marco Polo and a loss on the scale?
Yes. Yes.
So do some work ahead of time.
Okay.
Make your plan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Corinne, and you know, me too, really, big on visualization.
Okay.
Okay. So make your plan and actually just sit with yourself for a little while and think about driving to the airport and walking in and walking past the brownies and going to the salad place and having lunch or, you know, whatever your plan is, getting on the plane. Just watch yourself go through the trip ahead of time.
Okay.
Because that practice in your brain, the visualization, your brain thinks you've already done it. So you're not learning something new. You're not teaching it something new. You're visualizing it. You're practicing it ahead of time.
Okay.
And check in with that group and tell them, you guys know how I am when I travel. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm doing it. I'm changing it up this time because I want to be able to get on the next office hours and tell Kathy that I nailed it.
Well, and they're great and I'm checking in, but I think I just wasn't using them well. Mm-hmm. So I will check in with that, you know, okay, here's what I ate. Here's what I ate. Here's what I ate. So I'm so sorry. This is my little 17-year-old kitty, and she needed to be on the call.
That's right. That's so, okay. That's nice. Maybe she was looking for luau. She might have.
There you go.
So I try that, and I'd really, really look at how you can manage the stress of the trips. And your thoughts that are creating the stress of the trips. Because if it is the stress, then all you're doing is checking out.
Yeah.
By eating all the things.
Yeah.
You're just like, I'm not dealing with the stress. I'm just going to eat. And that doesn't solve anything. Doesn't solve stress. Doesn't resolve anything.
Right. Okay. I'll work on that.
That helps.
That does.
All right. Awesome. That group.
Next week, I'll be able to send you a little note and let you know that.
Well, I'm curious if I'm, let me look at my schedule here real quick, because I think I have office hours next Tuesday too. Let's see. And I just did the month. Let me see. No, it's Betsy next Tuesday.
Okay.
So either one of us, you know, you can come back or you can post in the group or.
I will.
And I'll ask coaches or whatever.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Yes. Okay.
Appreciate it. Okay. Bye.
All right. That was a weird little doorbell. Okay. Carol, you're up. Carol, are you there? It's kind of weird. I don't see you or hear you. All right, so I'm going to take you back down. I want you to raise your hand again. This is acting weird. Carol, I'm not sure what's going on here. All right, Kathy, I'm going to try and bring you up, see what happens. I don't see you either, Kathy. Where is everybody? Okay, you guys, you can see me and hear me, right? Tell me in the chat. Yes. Well, Zoom appears to be a little stuck right now, which is really weird. All right, you guys can see. Okay. I just moved Kathy back down, so raise your hand again, Kathy. Carol, I'm not sure what's going on with you, lady. I can't see or hear you, and I can't move you back down to attendee. Who is this? Carol, is that you? I see a hand. Carol, if that's you, turn on your audio for me. Okay. Everybody's gone. All right, you guys. Technical difficulties are over. And let's see. I have a hand raised. Let's see. See if we can try this. Vicky is back. All right, Vicky, turn on your audio. Hit join audio in the bottom right.
You hear me?
Yep.
Okay, I just thought you could try me to see since I worked.
Yeah, so you worked. Okay.
I could see you. I could hear you. And then I saw the hand that you were talking about. And then okay. Everything else was blank. So, all right. So I'm working. So, all right.
All right. Carol has her hand raised again. So okay. We're going to try her again. Thank you for testing that.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye. All right, Carol, let's try again. Okay. Carol, in the bottom right hand of your screen is a little green. Hello? Oh, there you are. All right. So can you lift your computer monitor? Are you on a like a laptop? Oh,
there we go.
There you are. I was like, where is she?
This is my first time. Can you tell?
It's fine. It's fine. Well, I'm glad we got that figured out.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. So should I just start right in?
Yes, ma'am. Tell me what's up.
So I have been a PNP member a year ago last March.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I've had my ups and downs. It was so funny because like the first month I felt like, hey, I'm starting to get this. And then the next month, I broke my foot. I had to have uterine surgery and shoulder surgery all that year. So
wow. Kind of,
yes, I had all these medical issues that came up. Do you see this on me right now? But I'm finally doing better. I'm starting to exercise again. I'm starting to get really back into it, feeling good. I've got a group. I've got my Marco Polo group.
Good.
And so that is, everything is like finally clicking. Good. Now, this is my issue. I've kind of heard the difference between white knuckling versus when you have to sit with your discomfort, but then there's also change up your routine, do something different. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example of what's happened this last week. I've kind of been experimenting and I'm totally fine with this, mm-hmm. with no flour, no sugar this last mm-hmm. week. So like 2 days I did no flour, no sugar and I wanted to see what would happen. You know, and I wasn't perfect, but then the next 2 days I did flour and sugar and I saw a difference in my weight like that. It like jumped down and jumped up. So then the next 2 days I was very good and did like 100% no flour, no sugar. And that went great. And then I decided, okay, I'm going to try making these, they sound so weird. They're garbanzo bean chocolate chip cookies.
Okay.
Okay. With garbanzo beans instead of the flour, like from a can. But you do use maple syrup. Mm-hmm. And they're like vegan chocolate chip cookies, very minimal sugar. So I thought I would try those. Well, of course, I ate six of them, you know.
They must have been good.
They were actually very good. Mm-hmm. And so then I went up immediately the next morning. So I'm watching this happen directly related to what I'm eating. I was eating at my 2 through the whole week, but I was kind of actually, I mean, I was experimenting with the exception of only having one cookie on my plan Sunday night. There I blew it. And I, you know, TDL'd and all of that for that. But then yesterday I wrote on my plan to have one cookie. And this is where the problem came. I had one cookie and I wanted more, right? And usually I try to do kitchen close, lights off, I get out of the kitchen. Well, nobody was like getting ready and going to bed. Everybody was hanging out in the kitchen still. And so I'm hanging and I'm walking past these cookies. And I just didn't know what to do. I was like, I kept circling the kitchen island. Finally, I threw them in the microwave, you know, put a wrapper on it. And I just walked upstairs to take a bath. And I immediately got on my Marco Polo ladies and said, I feel like I'm white knuckling, but I changed it up. So I, you know, I don't know how I should handle that because I just could not be in the same room with those cookies anymore, sitting there in discomfort in a sense. Mm-hmm. So I just don't know how to handle that. Now I'll tell you what I did this morning. I wrapped up each individual cookie in saran wrap and put it in a freezer Ziploc, and they're in the freezer so I can individually still have them when I want them. And then I found out maple syrup is a sugar too.
Oh, absolutely. It's a natural sugar. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's probably, I mean, you know,
if you want to
talk, talk a little bit of, you know, physiology, sugar begets sugar, right? When you eat it, you want more.
Right. And that's the thing is, you know, I haven't read any of the no sugar, no flour on PNP yet. Yeah. And so I talked to my friend, she's like, I think that's a sugar. You should read that. And I'm like, okay, I will. So anyways, but now I'm kind of like, I don't know how to handle.
So what's wrong with what you did? What's wrong with what you did?
I feel like I was white knuckling. Okay. I feel like I did a combination.
Okay.
Really? You know?
What do you think? What do you think would have been different if you just sat in discomfort?
I don't know if I could have done it. I felt.
What does that mean to you?
Week I had to leave.
What does sitting in discomfort mean to you?
Maybe white knuckling. I don't know.
Okay. Here's the difference.
Okay.
White knuckling is, oh my God, I have to do something with these cookies because I can't stand it. Sitting with discomfort is, the cookies are over there. I know I want one, but I'm not going to eat one. It's a little bit calmer. It's a little bit more controlled. It's still, you know, a little urgent and it's uncomfortable, but it's not, oh my God, I don't know what to do, you know?
Okay.
Really the difference is how controlled you are and how you feel about the situation. You know, both of them are, you know, neither one is going to be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
But discomfort and being more controlled about it just feels a little bit more empowering. It's just controlled. White knuckling is just like I'm hanging on by my toenails. I'm going to throw these in the trash and pour dish soap over them, you know, because that's the only way I can get them out of my way. What you did, you know, you circled the kitchen a couple of times and then you went, you know, that was pretty uncomfortable, right?
And I was on the verge of,
on the verge of what?
I was on the verge of like almost kind of what you were saying, like I'm losing control, okay. You know,
but you maintained control.
Cause I walked out and I called my ladies, which was good.
Yeah. Well, see that, you know,
even if they didn't respond, I got it out.
Right. Too. And that's why we tell y'all to thought download when you're feeling this way too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it takes that pause and it allows you to get it all out. And you just thought downloaded verbally with your Marco Polo group, which is fine.
Yeah. You know,
ultimately, white knuckling is not sustainable. All right? Right. You're not going to be able to circle the kitchen every night, every single night, and find success.
Uh-huh.
But if you begin to have that dialogue in your head where I know there's cookies over there, I've had one, that's all I planned. I'll have another one tomorrow. It doesn't feel good, but this is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And you have that more controlled conversation that's more like sitting with discomfort. That's much more sustainable.
Okay. What about when you change up your routine then to get away from something? When do you do that then?
It's called a pattern interrupt. And okay. that there's nothing wrong with that, especially if you're trying to break a habit. If you're that girl that eats a cookie every time you come home, you know, every time you come home from work, you go after the cookies, then you probably want to say, I don't go in the kitchen until, you know, I don't go through the kitchen when I go home. I go around the kitchen. You know, that's a pattern interrupt. That's still uncomfortable because it's a change in your habit. It's a change in your behavior. So it's not, you know, that's just trying to change a habit. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So me walking out of the kitchen. Okay. I do have a habit. I do like to have a treat every night, but I had already had my treat. So should I have tried to sit there or was it okay that I walked out and did a pattern interrupt?
It was okay that you did the pattern interrupt. If that's what you needed to do to be successful that night, it's okay that you did that. You know, you don't need to overthink it. You need to do what feels right in the moment. But just remember that the white knuckling part is not sustainable. That's like takes a lot of energy and it takes, you know, there's no conversation other than, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just barely hanging on.
Yeah.
Right? And the conversation you want to have is, I don't like the way this feels, but I'm going to do it anyway, because this is who I am. I am, you know, I can do this. You know, it's much more positive. It's, do you see the difference? It's like, I can't do this versus this feels hard and it's, you know, it's uncomfortable, but I'm going to make it. You know, it has a positive at the end of it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense because I think that when I wrapped up those cookies this morning, I suddenly had a completely different perspective of it.
Yeah.
But, okay, that is a choice I can make when I want to make that choice.
Right.
Rather than staring at me in the face, you know. And I suddenly, even though it was morning, I didn't even want one then. I can feel like even through as the evening is coming on tonight, I feel like I'm going to have a lot easier evening because I've prepared for it better, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's what you did is great, is perfectly fine. So somebody's asking while you're here, if you're white knuckling, how do you downgrade to sitting in discomfort? It's just a change in the conversation. Right? It's all up here. It's all a change in the thought. You know, you can choose to think, I can't do this. This is hard. Or you can choose to think, I absolutely can do this. It doesn't feel good, but I'm going to find success at the end of this. It's all in how you talk to yourself, all in how that conversation in your head goes on.
Is that when it might be good timing to have a pattern interrupt, take a little walk, have that discussion with yourself, and then you can come back and...
It's a good time to call your Marco Polo group. It's a good time to do a thought download, anything like that, that helps settle you down and gives you the confidence to know that the cookies are, you know, not going it's not going to be the end of the world. The cookies are going to be okay and you're going to be okay.
Okay. I love that. Okay.
Yeah.
That really helps. One last question. Mm-hmm. As far as the no flour, no sugar, I think you were the one that answered my question the other day when I was the one that was sleepy after lunch and you said it could be that you're eating flour and sugar. That's when I decided to try to stop doing it.
Okay.
And, I have totally seen a difference. Like today I've had no flour, no sugar, and I have not been sleepy at all. Mm-hmm. Whereas like yesterday I had a little, you know. But
so the science behind that is this. The some of us are more sensitive to the refined flours and sugars. So what happens is we eat them, ingest them, and our insulin goes up. Okay. Mm-hmm. And after a few minutes, that insulin comes back down, and it comes back down kind of fast. And that's when you start to feel tired. So if you're eating, you know, copious amounts at lunchtime,
uh-huh,
whether you're overeating or not, your insulin's going to go up and then it's going to drop and you're going to feel tired. So if you're eating more proteins and whole carbs and vegetables and fats and stuff, your insulin stays a little bit more level. And that's why you don't feel as tired.
Okay. And then can I get, I noticed that like the bloating went down tremendously. Is that normal? Can flour and sugar bloat you up? And I just have never really even recognized it.
Especially gluten can be inflammatory to some people. It is to me. Okay. If you have any joint or arthritis or anything like that.
I have terrible arthritis. Yeah. Osteoarthritis.
Yeah. I mean, I have it, my knees and I think I actually think I have hips too, but I've never been diagnosed, so I don't want to seem like a, you know, crazy person. But my knees have been diagnosed. But my point is, I can certainly tell when I take in too much flour and sugar. Okay. I know if I'm going to have a glass of wine, I know my knees are going to hurt the next day. It's like the currency I pay. If I have some birthday cake, I know my knees are going to hurt the next day.
Mm, okay. All right. Well, I'm going to continue to experiment with this. Mm-hmm. From a week ago Friday till today, I've lost 3.5 pounds. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And I really haven't changed anything else. So I'm thinking there's something here. Maybe I'm just getting rid of a lot of inflammation right now too.
Probably. Yeah. Some people, you know, I don't want, you know, everyone on this call to think, oh my gosh, I need to go no sugar, no flour. Some people respond like you do and some people don't. Corinne has no inflammatory response to sugar and flour.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So, but I do. So, you know, everybody's different. So it's part of figuring out what your food protocol is.
Yeah. And that's why I'm like trying to experiment with it right now and kind of figure out what is best for my body. So thank you so much. This really helped a lot.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Now I don't know how to get out.
I take you out. All right.
Okay.
All right. See ya.
All right. Bye.
Okay. No one's hand is raised. Does anybody want to be coached? Oh, there's Melanie. All right, Melanie. It says you're coming in as a panelist. Are you? This is the craziest thing. All right, I think it worked that time. All right, Melanie, your camera is off and you need to hit that audio button for me. Bottom right-hand corner. There you are. Bottom right-hand corner, join audio. Did you find it? Or is it bottom left? Is it bottom right or bottom left? I took a picture of it. Let's see. This is what it looks like. So it's bottom left. It says join audio. Okay. I've been telling people the wrong side. Bottom left. I don't hear you. Did you hit it? It's like it has a, does it have the little green arrow? Does it look like this?
Now?
Yes.
Okay, what'd you do?
What did you do?
I went out and went back in.
Okay. All right. So, well, good. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. What are we coaching on?
Okay. It's probably something that's going to be covered in the upcoming overeating, but okay. I've tried 3 calls to get on and I keep not getting on. So I just went ahead today.
Okay.
I'm a January newbie. I've done okay. Mm-hmm. I make my plans. No problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's mine is overeating, going out to eat off plan socially, like restaurants. If somebody calls and says, hey, we're going out to eat after the soccer game with your kids, you want to go? And I go, I'm screwing that up.
Why?
I don't know why.
Yes, you do.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yes, you do.
I don't. I love food. I live in South Louisiana. I love good food. We have lots.
All right. I want everybody who's here, all 70 of you, to tell me if you love food. We all love food. So why else? Don't want to feel left out.
Oh, yeah.
Don't want to be social. What is it?
All that. I don't want to be left out. I love to be social. I love to go and do.
So tell me about the last time this happened.
One day last week, we weren't supposed to go out. We went to a game. I had plans to eat when we got home, and they said, let's go to this place we always go to. And I said, okay, let's go.
Okay.
On the drive there, I said, I'm going to have a salad. I had a chicken sandwich.
So why didn't you have a salad?
Because the chicken salad looked good. I mean, the chicken sandwich is one of my favorites.
Okay. So why did you tell yourself you were going to have a salad?
Because that would have been the right thing to do.
Is that realistic?
The healthier option.
Is that realistic?
Some days, but not when I get in that moment. At home, I'm great. I'm on plan. No problem.
Well, let's talk about that moment. What does that mean?
I don't know. It's like it's the Last Supper. Like it's the last time I'm going to go out to eat or something. I don't know. It is the biggest struggle I have right now. I get my water. I do my plans. It's going out to eat.
It's only a struggle because you've decided it is. And it's only a struggle because you're deciding for some reason not to stick to your plan. And whether the plan is come home or get a salad or stand on your head, you're just having chicken sandwiches instead. So why?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. If you had to guess, what would it be?
I guess the things that come to mind is just the fear of missing out, enjoying the food. I love the food. It's my favorite.
All right. So let's say it's fear of missing out. What's the thought in your head when you decide, no, I'm going to go instead of go home?
Wait, say that again.
So when you decide you're going to go out instead of going home, what's the thought? Decide is the action, right? There's a thought and then a feeling and then an action.
I guess just go hang out with our friends.
I'd rather be with my friends than go home. Would you rather be with your friends than lose weight?
No. I want both.
What if you can't have, of course you can be with your friends and lose weight if you eat the salad instead of the chicken sandwich. What I'm trying to show you here is that you have a series of decisions. Every life is a series of decisions, right? Decision number one is, what's my plan going to be for today? Decision number two is, we're going to the ball game. Decision number three is, what are we eating after the ball game? Maybe where are we eating? Then what are we eating? So in that where and what are we eating, you're making the decision whether or not to stay on plan. If you've planned at home, going out, whether you decide what you're going to eat on the way or not, is eating off plan. Okay? Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. So what if you did this on these nights for the ball games? What if you had two plans? What if you said, if I come home, I'm going to have whatever. If I go out, I'm going to have this. That way, the where decision is still on plan. The what decision becomes the next decision point. All right? Do you think if you end up going out, you can tell yourself, I already have a plan for what I'm going to eat when I'm out. I'm sticking to the plan.
I want to say I can do that.
I think you can. You know, don't want to say, just say yes. That's absolutely, I can do that. I will do that. You know, it's all in, gosh, this is like a theme for this call. And it's all in how you talk to yourself. It's that conversation in your head. You know, if the conversation in your head is, they asked me to go out and I don't want to miss out, so I'm going to go, then you've already decided the plan is in the garbage. And your brain is going to go, well, if the plan's in the garbage, we may as well eat what we want.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
So let's put it on the plan because that's realistic and give yourself, you know, in this case, the option. And then, you know, after a couple of weeks of doing this, if you're losing weight, then you know that this is the right way to handle this. If you're not, then maybe you need to back up that decision point and say, you know, thanks for the invitation. I'll plan for it next time. But my plan says I'm going home tonight. So I'll see y'all.
Okay.
What? Why are you smiling?
Because you make it sound so easy.
It is easy. It's not hard.
It's just, I mean,
it was very simple to come up with that.
That's why you're the boss lady.
Well, so why is that not easy? Why do you think that's not easy?
I think I just get there and get caught up in, oh, I don't know. You know, one time they said Oprah has that feeling of everybody orders food and she orders last because she don't want somebody to order something better than her. It's like that. But I eat healthy at home. I cook healthy.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
So why do you let's talk about that for a minute. When you're out, if you're that Oprah person, why is that? Why are you afraid somebody's going to get better food than you? What's better food mean?
No.
Mm-hmm.
The thought, I guess.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Theirs may be yummier or look better. I don't know.
It might stick to your ass harder.
This is true. Mm. Yes.
Sometimes true. Yummier food does that, right?
Absolutely.
There's a decision point again. You know, if the girl next to you is getting all the fried and all the cheese and all the this and all the that, is that really what you want? There's your decision point again. It's not really what you want. It might be yummier in the moment. That's not really what you want.
No, and I've had great success. I'm down 58 pounds, so yeah. I'm having good success.
Mm-hmm.
It's just those moments that I want to get reined in.
Yeah, and that's just because you're not slowing down the decision process. That's what it sounds like to me anyway.
And that sounds right. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm anxious to hear how you do with it.
Me too.
When's the next ball game?
We're going out of town for a funeral this weekend. So mm-hmm. probably this weekend we'll go out to eat.
Okay. So that's, you know, you go out to eat. You can go ahead and make a plan for that, right?
Yes.
You can choose whether to make an exception night or stay on protocol.
Okay.
Got a lot of decisions there. It's very empowering to have decisions to make, don't you think? To be able to make your own decisions.
It is when you do them the right way, when you're successful.
It's empowering to know that you have decisions to make.
I guess I've never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's disappointing when you don't like the decisions you've made.
Yes.
But that doesn't take away the fact that it's empowering to be able to make your own decisions.
I'm going to work on that.
Sorry about the cough.
Everything's turning green here. We have it everywhere.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
So much.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye.
All right. Arusha, my friend. All right, lady. Bottom left-hand side of your screen is a join audio. Did you find it? Okay. I think you just turned off your monitor, your video. I can't see you. Here you come. Okay. There you are.
Can you see me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So, I'm this engaged and hotshot dentist and
actually married legally.
So. What?
Yeah, How did I miss that? Well, we just did the courthouse thing. My wedding is this October, and I got to lose some weight for the dress, girl. Of course. So I just printed all the stuff for this month. I feel like it was just in time. And I wrote my first like plans just these past few days. And I'm not doing too good with it, to be honest. Like, I'll make plans, but pretty much every day, like, I kind of deviate from it. So I thought I'd jump in. I kind of got to the end of the call and see if you have any words of advice for me how to kind of dip my feet in again.
So how engaged have you been in PMP the past few months?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay, hang on. Fixing to get the other cough drop. Have you heard any talking about realistic plans?
I mean, I used to hear it before.
Okay. So if you are making a plan and you are consistently not sticking to it, it's probably a plan that is a little unrealistic at this point.
Right. So plan the overeats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like we used to.
Yeah. So here's what I do sometimes with people. I'll ask, let's do this. This is kind of fun. So today, what did you eat? What did you eat for breakfast?
I had my shake for my breakfast. Mm-hmm. And then I did some grab-assing.
Okay. The kitchen. So table. Is that breakfast or snack?
That was after breakfast, a snack. But it wasn't on my plan. I wasn't.
All right. So what was it?
It was like salsa, chips, and some fruit.
Okay. What was lunch?
Lunch was salmon, and I ate it around lunchtime, but I really wasn't hungry, to be honest.
Because you grab-assed the salsa, chips, and fruit. Salmon and what else?
Salmon and some vegetables and rice.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm, it was.
All right. Did you have a snack in the afternoon?
No.
No afternoon snack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about dinner?
I had this like pre-made like dinner. It was like chicken enchiladas, but they're not fried. Like they're low calorie kind of.
Okay.
But then I ate ice cream, which wasn't on the plan. And the only reason I ate the ice cream is because I wanted to throw it out because I didn't want to eat ice cream. And I was like, oh, it's a waste. Let me have a little.
Arusha.
I know. I should know better. I know.
Any more eating tonight?
Nope. I brushed my teeth and I flossed. I'm done.
Okay. How much water did you have today?
Plenty. Water was plenty.
How? Estimate. 64, 80?
Probably close to 70 at least. Yeah, I had a lot of water.
Okay. And exercise?
No, I just did some yoga at home.
Yoga.
I've been very bad with that too, to be honest.
It's okay.
My body's feeling good, to be honest. It's like...
So if you had written this plan for today, can you see it all? It's hard.
Yeah.
Hang on.
No, I can see.
I'm going to put you on gallery view so I can see. Okay. If you had written that plan for today, you would be totally 100% on plan. Okay? This is a realistic plan because this is where you are. Because you grab ass. Because you eat ice cream instead of throw it away.
But if you write a realistic plan, then you won't lose weight. Or if you write it, you won't do it. Which one is it?
Well, the first thing about planning, the first important thing about planning is writing one that you will succeed in doing.
Right.
Because how often are you going to write these pie in the sky plans, fail at them, and keep doing them? You're just going to go, this planning doesn't work. I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you create a realistic plan,
Yeah.
It looks exactly like what you're probably going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You've created a success for yourself. Right? You do this for a couple of weeks and you go, okay, I get this, but I'm not losing weight. Let me go back through these plans and see what I should level up. And then all of a sudden you start seeing these snacks like this one. Mm-hmm. And you're like, maybe I'll just stick to the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Or you see this down here where, you know, I didn't need to eat that ice cream. Next time I'll just pitch it. It was icy anyway, you know, or whatever. Is that a date? Whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
But you write them realistically like this because you will need to practice success. You need to practice something, getting something right and feeling good about something.
Yeah.
So what I do is I tell people sometimes, if you don't know exactly what this grab ass is going to be, mm-hmm. just put on your plan like 5 BLTs through the day. Do you know what a BLT is?
Yeah. Bite, lick, and taste.
Bite, lick, or taste.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That then clues your brain to say, I only get 5 because that's all that's on the plan. But they can be 5 of anything. They can be 5 chips and salsa. They can be 5 pieces of fruit. They can be 5, you know, nuts, you know, whatever. So if you don't know if you're going to snack, if you don't plan a snack intentionally, plan 4 or 5 BLTs.
Yeah.
That way, when you go back at the end of the day and you do your assessment, you say, you know what? I had my shake and that was good.
Mm-hmm.
I only had 3 BLTs. So I stayed under plan and I got my lunch and dinner in, got my water in, did my yoga. I was good today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Cause this beating myself up ain't helping anybody.
Right. Beating yourself up doesn't create success.
No, it doesn't.
If that's the action line of the model, beating yourself up doesn't result in, yay, let's do it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
So that's why you do a realistic plan. That's why you don't go all pie in the sky on yourself. Mm-hmm. Because you have to teach yourself, you have to incrementally learn how to stay on the plan and what the plan needs to be.
Okay, I'll try that tomorrow.
Is that, you want to write one now? Just write one now.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to have coffee and then shake.
Okay.
I've been doing these daily harvest shakes. They're awesome.
Okay. So coffee is always part of the plan.
Yeah.
Okay. What's lunch going to be?
Well, I got to put a snack too, but tomorrow I want to have I'm going to take my healthy snack tomorrow because I have it in the office and I don't want it to go bad. It's celery and like a dip.
Okay.
And I actually like it. So.
Okay.
Lunch is like, again, I have like prepared food from Daily Harvest.
Mm-hmm. So which one are you going to pick for tomorrow?
Just one of their like harvest bowls.
Okay.
And then, actually, you know what? For the morning, put 3 grab asses. Let's do that to be realistic. And I'll put the celery for the afternoon.
Okay.
So the morning, 3 grab asses, the lunch, the harvest bowl, and then the afternoon, like the celery sticks. And dinner is going to be another harvest bowl.
How much water are you going to get tomorrow?
Enough that I'm peeing every hour and my pee's clear. So whatever it takes.
All right. We'll go with 70 again.
Yeah.
Are you going to do any yoga or do any walking or anything tomorrow? If the answer is no, it's okay. Okay.
No, I don't have time.
Okay. So I'm going to put rest.
Yeah.
All right. Does this look like something you're actually going to do tomorrow?
Yeah.
I don't see any ice cream or brownies or.
There's none in the house.
Take out or I know you.
I know.
I don't see Uber Eats on here anywhere or.
You're so proud of me. I've not been ordering from Uber Eats. Like I deleted the app and then I re-downloaded it and I'm like, okay, fuck this. If I'm not going to do it, I'm just going to have it and not do it. And 5 nights in a row, I've looked at it and I just didn't order anything.
Good for you.
Yeah, so I know. No, I'm trying to put that aside.
Mm-hmm.
Changing my ways, hopefully. That, and I still have a problem doing these TDLs. I just don't do them for some reason. I'll find anything else to do. Like, I just grab whatever.
Okay.
Go fold the sheets or do the dishes or I don't know. I don't know.
You have an accountability group?
No.
Why not? Don't want one?
No, I do want one.
Why don't you have one? Why don't you ask for one?
Yeah, I'll ask. I haven't been active in the tribe. Do I just post on Facebook? Things have changed, right? So I just post. I'm like, I can reach out to some of my DC girls too. Mm-hmm. Christina, see how she's doing.
Nicole, isn't she up there too?
Oh yeah, Nicole too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then, I would get in that group. There's people looking for accountability partners and groups all the time. And, you know, sometimes just getting on Marco Polo with them and just doing a verbal TDL helps a lot. You know, you got people in there who are listening to you, who, you know, are like.
You know, last year when I used to do my daily sheets, the number one my three goals on the top was always fall in love, get married, lose this, and then learn to love myself. Well, the first one has happened. And I'm like, okay, maybe if I wrote it enough, it did. Like last year, this time, remember I was like, maybe not last year, maybe like 14 months ago, I was like, I'm going to be all alone. I'm going to be miserable, you know, whatever.
Well, I remember when you met him.
Oh, yeah.
You were stressed about traveling. Year. Yeah, you were having to travel. Yeah. Is he still on the West Coast?
Yeah, he still is. We're still trying to figure that out. I think he's going to come to DC, but hey, you know what? Part-time ain't bad. It's like honeymoon every time we meet.
It's good to see you happy. Good to see you smiling and happy.
But my point is, even though I got my first goal, and I always thought if I fell in love and got married and lost weight, then I'd be perfectly happy. Mm-hmm. That is not true. I did fall in love and
get married. Really?
And I mean, I am happy. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But like, I still have those negative self-critiquing thoughts that I had. It's not like, you know what I mean?
No, oh, absolutely. Corinne talks about this all the time. She says, you know, if you're talking bad to yourself at 200 pounds, you're not going to, you know, it's not going to disappear at 150. You're still going to talk bad to yourself. You have to love yourself, learn to love yourself as you lose the weight.
Right. Exactly. So I'll post in the Facebook group and see who wants to do like a.
Tell him you're this awesome, beautiful dentist.
Thank you.
Just got married and.
I just got the Washingtonian Top Dentist Award, which is awesome.
I saw that. That's.
I know. Yeah. They choose 300 out of 4,000 people or 5,000 people, a lot of people, DC, Maryland, Virginia area. So it's.
Yeah. That's really awesome. And it always looks like you and your staff, you know, you get along well and stuff. That is very cool.
I'm very lucky. Yeah.
All right, girl. Get after that realistic plan and create some
stuff. I'm going to go write it and I'm going to go find me a group and I'm going to start on my thing that I printed for the deep dive.
Good. Good. Yeah. And that, I've been trying to get that program downloaded and the internet is not agreeing with me. It's irritating me.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to look at it. I'm going to look at it now.
Hopefully it will be up tomorrow.
Okay. Right. Well, it's really good to see you, Kathy.
You too.
Okay.
You too. Take care.
Good night. Bye.
All right, bye. All right. Who is next? Who is next? I don't see any hands. We still have 30 minutes. I can take a couple more people if anybody else wants to be coached. Kimberly, you are up. All right. Look for that join audio button for me in the bottom left. Punch that because I can't hear you yet. Bottom left. So it'll be whichever side. It's on the bottom left of your screen. It says.
Yep, got it. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Hey, neighbor. Let me find a place to land.
Okay.
So
Why did that not work?
Do you know when the class for the overeating is going to be up from last night? Sorry.
I answered a post about this in the group.
I must have missed that.
That's okay. We decided to, since it was so long, to break it down into sections.
Okay.
Okay. So I have done that today. And there's one section that is acting like a total jackass and will not do it for me. I don't know if it's too big. You know, I'm not sure what's going on with it. I may just split it up, but
okay.
So it's my fault.
Oh no.
We're trying to make it easier, and I can't get it. Did you listen to any of it?
No, I didn't have a chance to.
Where she talks about all the overeating, and maybe it's just too long. I don't know. But as soon as hours is over, I'm going to get back on it. And I have to get all the information to Sadie, and Sadie will put it on there.
Okay. Because that really is probably my biggest issue with most of us, right, in this group?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Is the off-plan eats, even though I do what I consider very realistic. But as I've been listening to the call tonight, I realize I need to level up my 24-hour plan. Like for breakfast, I put oatmeal, raisins, 2 hard-boiled eggs. But what I didn't say is I do 2 packets of the instant oatmeal, 2 boxes of raisins, and 2 hard-boiled eggs with Miracle Whip. I need to start being more honest because I'm kind of, I like to consider it, I've been practicing maintenance for the last few months.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is not a bad thing, right? That's a good thing. But so I know that we're not supposed to really beat ourselves up over our overeats or our off-plan eats. But at what point do you decide, because I've white-knuckled before, like, I've white-knuckled at night because I got into the habit of wanting to have nuts beside my bed when I'm reading. And if I just don't go to sleep, then I'm wanting to eat on the nuts. So so I made it my protocol that I don't eat in bed anymore. Well, then I white-knuckled one night because I knew if I came downstairs that I would just be eating a ton of nuts. So
what is the first night that you're trying something new like that? What if you just white knuckle?
Right.
And then the next night you borrow the first night and you say, you know, I survived it.
I
can survive tonight too. And you start to up level that conversation a little bit.
Okay.
So it doesn't feel, you know,
so white knuckly.
Right. If it feels a little less white knuckly because you've already succeeded. You've already done it once.
Yeah. Because every time I woke up to even like use the bathroom, I was thinking about those damn nuts. So at what point do you just say, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. Let me just have it. And that way I can eat it and put it behind me. Is that ever, I don't want to say anything's okay, quote unquote, because everything we do is okay. I mean, it's just the choice we make. Mm-hmm. It's not bad or good. It's just a choice that has consequences. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I was thinking tonight, because I grab-assed at work. So I was thinking, you know what? I've just blown today. I'm just going to go home and I'm going to eat the Doritos and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I don't care if it's not on my plan, blah, 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 blah. You know, having that argument with myself, which sounds so stupid, but it's like, Kim, come on, you know what's going to happen. And, you know, I got on the scale and it was up a little bit this morning and I thought yesterday I did really well. And so, you know, there's some of that, all that mental bullshit going on. I haven't done a TDL today yet, which I probably need to do.
So when are you going to decide that the mental bullshit is just not
worth it?
I don't want to do that anymore. Why do I keep doing that to myself? When are you just going to go like, okay, how am I going to eliminate the mental bullshit? I'll just put nuts on the plan.
Right.
That way I'm not off plan. Then you're still practicing maintenance.
Right.
Is that what I want to do? Because if I want to practice maintenance, I'll just keep the nuts on the plan and
right.
the grab assing and whatever.
Right.
You know,
and it's
that series of decisions again.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just make the decision to put it on the plan and then not beat yourself up, but know that
right.
you're not going to have the result you want. So you just have to decide, okay, so it's not going to be the result I want.
Following the plan, or do I want the success of weight loss?
Right. Right.
And having to do both depending on how the plan is, right? And how
to
execute the plan.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, okay. So I'm wondering that you just, I guess, just trying to think through like all those feelings I had today. I mean, they were just feelings, right? Not a big deal.
Tell me what they were.
Just move past. Well, mm-hmm. just, you know, the feeling of I'm not losing weight, frustration. Mm-hmm. You know, that I thought I've been eating pretty well these last few days. And so the scale's not moving. And Corinne says to give it a week. And, you know, I've got knee problems. So I'm not exercising exactly the way I want to. Mm-hmm. Freaking cold here in Nashville. I'm so over this. Everybody's got this crud. I feel like I'm coming down. You know, excuses after excuses after excuses. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, it sounds so easy just to say, just do it, right? Just make that decision. But the mental part of it and the arguments you have with yourself can be not as easy, I guess.
And so the just do it part is the action line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's always a thought and a feeling that comes before the action. So doing it, following the plan, making the plan, up-leveling right. the plan, you know, basics, they go in the action line. So you have to have a thought and a feeling to execute the basics. You know, I've heard a lot of thoughts from you, things like, well, I've already messed that up, or, right. you know,
yeah,
I don't feel good, or my knees hurt, or it's cold, or, you know, I'm not hearing a lot of, I know how to do this.
Well, and I do know how to do it. I've lost 60 pounds, so I do know how to do it.
Yeah.
And I know how to make good decisions, and I know how to make a realistic plan and stick to it and still lose.
So why are you?
Well, I would say fear, but after that last week's Wednesday morning talk about fear, what is holding me back?
What would you be afraid of?
Because I've been this way so long, I'm not really sure who I am.
In what way?
If been overweight.
Okay. All right. So let's say, poof, you're 50 pounds lighter. Are you different?
Yeah, I am different.
Nah, you're the same person. Poof, you're 50 pounds heavier. Are you different?
Well, I guess, I've lost 60 and I'm not really any different. So right. I guess not.
Right. Yeah. It's just like I was, did you listen to Arusha's call?
I did.
She said,
I did.
I got married and I thought it would make me happy. Yeah. I thought it would make me love myself. Mm-mm. She's still the same Arusha. She's still, a successful badass dentist in Washington, D.C. And she's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's still Arusha, even though she got married. You're still Kim, even though you lost 60 pounds.
Right.
You'll be the same Kim when you lose 50 more, 60 right. more, however many more you want to lose. You know, the work you do as you go down to learn to love yourself, to learn to take care of yourself, to learn to keep your commitments to yourself, that's what changes you, not the difference in the weight. So the work you do up in your brain is what changes you.
Right.
It makes you, you know, feel more empowered. It gives you more self-esteem, you know?
Makes you not afraid to do what...
Right.
Which you wouldn't do when you were heavier.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So let me ask you this question too. TDLs don't always have to have the thought action result, right? It can just be our thoughts. Right.
Yep.
Okay.
The fun All thing right. to do with a TDL, if you really want to get fun with it, is to write it out for 5 or 6 minutes and then reread it and look for all the facts.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a hint. You might find one or two, because what you'll see is that I'm thinking all of this stuff. These are all thoughts, and thoughts are optional.
Yeah.
Facts aren't. Facts are just the facts of the world, right?
Yeah.
But you go back and you read some of that stuff, and you're like, I really tell myself this stuff? I really talk to myself this way?
Right, because I would never talk to my friends this way.
Right, or my kids, or my husband, or my...
Well, I might talk to the
boss, or my... Right.
Yeah, okay, all right. All right.
So what did we solve?
Well, I know I'm going to stick to my plan tonight.
What, so, okay. We're back to the nuts? No nuts in the bed tonight?
We're not going to do any nuts in the bed. And we're not going any further with that conversation.
Good.
So, yeah. So, yeah. And I'm going to eat my dinner, which was the grilled chicken and the salad. I'm going to do that. And then tomorrow's a new day. So, and I'll make up my realistic plan. Yeah. More honest, realistic plan. So
it's all about the honest, realistic plan. Yeah. It's all about creating success for yourself. So showing right. yourself that you can commit to something that you know that's going to work and that you feel good about at the end of the day. Because then you want to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. I am.
I love that picture behind you too.
It's a Chelsea Tucker original.
I know. I just love it. It looks great back there.
I do too. She made me cry. No, yeah, I made myself. My thoughts made me cry, but ugh, that girl. Well,
I know, right? That yeah. Girl. Yeah. All right. Well, we will see you later.
All right. Take care. All right.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Bye. All right. Laura. You're up. Hi. The bottom left of your screen. Look for that join audio
button. Can you hear it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm good. I have kind of the lingering effects of whatever you've got, probably post-nasal drip. So
good. So we'll both cough together. Yeah. I'm out of cough drops, so.
I've got a giant water bottle, so we'll hope. Okay. So every time I get on a coaching call, I feel like it's not weight related. Then I feel crazy. So I'm in the process of working on finding a long-term position after I finish residency. Okay. And I have a couple of different options, and I guess what I'm struggling with is how to integrate the thing. Like, I've had a 6-month gap research time where I found you guys at the end of it and I integrated a lot of like exercise and healthy cooking and things that I could, you know, carry on into that time frame. But then I've gone back to my normal demands of my schedule, and I'm struggling with how to integrate everything together and how to, I guess that's a lie. I'm struggling with how do you continue to be productive after a long day when that's what the job you've chosen demands. And so today I was posting in the Facebook group about, you know, I'm choosing to take a little break on my drive home so that I can be ready for this, you know, after hours research that I'm supposed to be working on, reading, research, other things like after the you know, 9 to 5 stuff that is expected of me. There's this other, you know, whole realm of stuff. And I'm looking at these jobs, and some of them are in academics at like universities, and they expect you to not only do your own research, but coach junior people on how to do that research after you've done a day of surgeries from 7 in the morning until, you know, whatever time that ends, you know, 5 at night or 3 in the afternoon sometimes, but you know, different times depending on the day. And so I'm struggling with just, how do you maintain that level of enthusiasm through your whole life? Or is it okay to not have that? And how do you, like, when is it okay to prioritize your health or yourself over what you've expected of yourself for a long time? I guess that's a lot of thoughts for my coaching call.
That's okay. Okay. So where we landed was, when is it okay to prioritize yourself over your work?
Yeah.
So what's the answer?
I feel like the answer is when you're making progress on it.
Making progress on your work or on yourself?
Whatever you're prioritizing.
Okay.
And I'm not making progress on really any of them.
Because you're not prioritizing? Or because you're overwhelmed? Or because you're confused?
I feel like the overwhelmed thing I agreed with for a while. And then Corinne said the opposite of overwhelm is action. And mm-hmm. so, but I haven't found my self-taking action, even though I understand that intellectually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about overwhelm for just a minute. And I'm sure Corinne talked about this as well. But for, if there's anybody here or listening at the end of the call who thinks, that's me, I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
What overwhelm allows you to do is nothing. It allows you to sit there and think about everything you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely.
So if I look at my desk and I think about all the work that I have, and I have a lot, and I make lists, and I complain to my husband, and I think about, you know, oh, I have so much work to do and not enough time, I'm not doing anything.
Right.
Right?
And when it's a commitment to someone else, like a surgery that I have to do on someone else, then I mm-hmm. obviously get that done. But when it's mm-hmm. things that literally only would benefit me, like, mm-hmm. you know, working on research in my off hours,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know that I don't prioritize it.
Why not?
I don't know. It's like, once I know the answer, I don't feel an impetus to write it up and publish it. I don't care about, well, I want everyone else to know it, but I don't know.
Is that true?
Work to write it up and publish it. I mean, I fear, like, every citation, I worry mm-hmm. that it's not properly cited or, mm-hmm. you know, and I read citations for my other male co-residents all the time, and they have ones that are completely out in left field, not right at all.
Yeah. But what about yours? You know, why?
Yeah. Well, every time I read something, I feel a need to go into like every article it cites. And then it's just this rabbit hole of work. And that's.
So why is that productive?
It's not productive.
Okay. So why do you do it?
Because I feel like I need to be accurate or else my work will be
valid. Need to be perfect.
Yeah. Sorry.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Is that why you don't finish this kind of work? Is because it's
why not I don't start.
You don't even start because it's because you don't think you'll do it perfectly?
Maybe. I mean, I do plenty of things imperfectly.
Does it have to be perfect?
Clearly by everyone else's work, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Okay. So what if it's not perfect? What if you publish something that is, it's pretty good, but mm-hmm. it's not, I mean, it's, you know, something right, somebody's right. going to benefit from,
mm-hmm.
but oh my gosh, there's a 3 instead of a 2 in that citation. What happens? What happens? I mean, what's the worst thing that happens?
Nothing really.
Somebody says, oh, Laura has a typo.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Right?
No one knows what they're looking at would be able to figure out the real thing.
Yeah. So what good comes from publishing something, publishing your research? What are you missing out on by not publishing?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it that way. I mean, I've had some good ideas that I think would be interesting to the people that I work with if they cared to think about it. I don't know that sounds bad.
Somebody from across the country might pick mm-hmm. up your work and say, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I needed to know.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Exactly.
This
yeah.
is a great idea.
Right. It's mostly female-centric mm-hmm. interests in a spine-related field, which is 99.9% male surgeons. So
yeah. So, and that's, you know, that's cool, but it's.
Right. And I mean, it's 51% of the population. I mean,
yeah. So, you know what, look at what you're missing out on because you're worried about a 3 instead of a 2. I mean, that's simplistic, but you get my point.
No, I do.
You have a message and a voice, and you're not expressing that because you're afraid of something, of being perfect, of not being perfect.
Yeah.
So here's where you get to decide if you want to continue that, if that's really where you want to be.
Yeah. I guess it's everyone I know too is in this field. Like every one of my teachers is in academics, right? And so there's this whole world of people who get taken care of by people who are not teaching other surgeons. And that's every private hospital in the country. And the majority of people that complete a residency go into private. And I just feel so guilty about even contemplating that concept. And I don't understand. I don't know why.
Why do you feel guilty?
I feel like it's our responsibility to train the next like generation.
Is it? Is that your responsibility? Or is it your responsibility to do what you love doing and what you excel at and be kind to yourself?
Ooh. That's a lot of things to think about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's
kind of like square peg, round hole.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. You can try and be the square peg.
Yeah.
As much as you want to. But if you're trying to fit into that round hole, you know, and the round hole being really what you don't want to do, you know, you're trying to be this square peg, but where you really want to be is in this round hole. It's just always going to feel hard. It's always going to feel like you're butting up against something.
Right.
But if you embrace what it is you love and you're good at, man, the pieces just start falling together.
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny because I thought for so long that the thing that I was good at and I liked was less valuable because it came naturally, you know, and that took a long time to feel valid. And I don't know why this last piece is like the last remnant of that, you know, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, if someone is excellent at research, then they should spend their time doing that. For me to abuse my free time or time that I could have a family or do any of these things in the future by
abuse my free time. How about misuse?
Sure. Okay. That's much more accurate. I'm a scientist.
Think about if you really consider your quality of life, you know, who wants to go to a job that they really don't like every day?
Well, that
should go to work every day, you know, because I have this job and because somebody told me this is what I should do someday, but I really hate it. Is that?
Well, that's just it. The job I love, the 7 to 5 I love, it's the stuff that would be extra and after hours. One of my advisors said, you know, I don't have a hole in my heart that needs to be filled with that kind of validation. And I thought, well, I don't really either. Like, why am I thinking that I need to abuse, like to fit myself into this square hole?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a lot of future TDLs, I guess.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And that could be why you're spinning.
Yeah.
Because you know, it might not be the right thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like your brain has got some low level stuff going in here going, Laura, let's think about this. Is this really it? Laura, is this really it? Let's think about this.
The other thing too, though, is like, if I give up on that thing that I'm fixated on, that's not a good fit for me, then what do I mean, not what do I do with all this free time that it's not really free time, but like, you know, then the other things that I kick down the road because I have this other false thing to focus on come into focus. And I don't know, that's another set of TDLs.
What do you mean?
Dating or, you know, opening up to other people and that kind of thing. You know, I mean, if I always have work to do, then I always have work as a field.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you could create the ideal day for you, just pie in the sky, Laura's ideal day, what would it look like?
Wow.
What would light you up?
I guess it would look like my normal day, aside from the part when I come home and feel terrible about not doing these things that I've
put on. So you go to work.
I don't actually want to do. Yeah.
Yeah. You fix a couple people's spines.
Right.
You go visit them after surgery.
Right.
Do some post-op visit work.
check on how they're doing. Yeah.
What would you do when you come home?
I mean, I think it would depend on the day, but I'd like to cook one day a week and go to the gym maybe twice a week or do yoga or get a massage and like all of these things that I do make time for, but then feel guilty about doing, you know?
And because so, you should be doing this thing that you really don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's your work, girl.
I guess that's true too, because it's not like you have to make this decision and then that's the rest of your life. You know, I mean, you can fade in and out of seasons and mm-hmm. collect that data anytime you want and put that data out. I don't know. Wow. I never thought about it that way. I guess the way you see is the only way you think it can be for a long time.
I think what happens to us sometimes is we get into a little bit of compare. Well, somebody else did this.
Yeah.
Or maybe we see what, you know, what we think the expectation is. And it's not really what we want.
Yeah.
But when you really boil down to what is it that I want and what would light me up and what where is my quality of life?
Yeah.
And how can I accomplish that? Then that just tends to feel a whole lot better than trying to live up to someone else's expectation.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard. I mean, I think the way like, in this series of interviewing right now, but everyone that's taught me has done this research track of committing their whole life and missing their kids and everything in order to do that. And,
you and know, that lights some people up.
Right. Exactly.
You just have to decide if that lights you up.
Right.
If it does, there's nothing wrong with it.
Right. And that's the only side I'm hearing. And so there's plenty of people out there who have chosen the opposite. I mean, the majority of people. And for some reason, I have this feeling that those people's choice is less rigorous or valid or, you know, acceptable. I don't know what the word is, but
yeah, you know what I mean? That's what you have to decide. Is that the truth? And is that what you want?
Oh yeah. That's a good way to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fact versus truth. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Oh, so many TDLs. All right. Thank you, Kathy.
All right. See ya.
Sounds good.
Okay. It's a couple of Q&As here I'll get to real quick. Oh, they're way over here. Hang on. Beth, I realized that in my plan, I have yogurt for breakfast, but then I plan nuts and raisins in the yogurt. That's an extra 200 calories, of course, not counting calories. But then I might plan nuts for snack. I probably add 300 to 400 useless calories. Suggestions to eliminate these things since my weight loss has stalled. That would, Beth, I would consider that a level up. If you wanted to cut back on the number of nuts or the number of raisins or both to see if it affects the scale, then I would certainly try that. Kathy, when you do no sugar, no flour, do you just not eat cake, cookie, breads, etc., or would you not eat like a salad at a restaurant because it would likely contain sugar, for example? Okay. I do eat cakes and cookies on no sugar, no flour as exceptions. All right. So I plan exceptions on no sugar, no flour, just like everyone else plans exceptions from their protocol. Okay. They are planned and they are not every day. In fact, I love cake and cookies. I don't even eat them every week. All right. I want them to be, when I eat cakes and cookies, I'm not eating Oreos and I'm not eating Ding Dongs. I'm eating homemade, fresh baked things because that's what I love. And I'm not going to waste my exception on Oreos and Ding Dongs. That's just me. I want to eat, if I'm going to eat cake, I'm going to eat really, really good cake and I'm going to love it. But as far as salad dressing goes, any kind of condiments, I don't, you know, they don't really have enough sugar to affect me. So, you know, cakes and cookies have a lot of sugar. Salad dressing might have a little sugar. You know, it depends on which one you get. I usually eat ranch or blue cheese. Those are my favorites. I just don't eat a lot of it. Okay. So I hope that answers your question. I don't, on the no sugar, no flour protocol, the one I'm on, I don't worry about condiments so much. I don't eat a lot of ketchup. I don't really like it that much, but I'll eat mustard to beat the band. I love mustard. And like I said, I eat salad dressing. So I hope that helps. That's all I see, you guys. I hope you have a great Tuesday. And thanks for coming. Talk to you soon. Bye.